Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, 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 you're now listening or watching the Halos in the Infield podcast with your host Todd Fox and Fernando the Lone Star Halo, brought to you in part by Noble L Works, just outside of Anaheim Stadium and the Pond, or the Honda Center, where you can get drink specials just by mentioning Halos in the Infield. Also brought to you in part by 714 Tickets. Is a place to go to get 10% off of any ticket purchase just by also mentioning HITI, Halos in the Infield. Now enjoy the show. Hey, 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 welcome into another podcast here with Todd Fox and the other host of the show,
Rob from Unknown Parts.
There you go. He's taking a break during work right now, actually working as he's on the podcast. So he's doing double duty. He's the Shohei Ohtani of the podcast.
Yep, money line tonight in the game is 300. So that's
and he's also not a trader though. So there you go. He's staying loyal to the Halos. But yeah, this is Halos in the Infield, the podcast. We're gonna briefly give you a rundown. We're gonna go through Boston Red Sox series, give you our thoughts on the opening day game, as well as the presentation, how things went down, our experience, because both me and Rob were there amongst other Halos in the Infield members. James Squared was there. So, you know, we're going to break that down. We're going to talk about the series, and then we're going to talk about the Tampa series, the good and the bad from everything, and actually have some highlights here to show. And then we're also going to touch on the at the end, the Wayne Rendazzo rant. I actually have that, and we'll react to that as we move on. So, Rob, how was the red carpet on opening day?
It was windy. I mean, it was fun. It was an interesting experience. They were trying to hype up something that really wasn't there. I mean, it's exciting that it's opening day, don't get me wrong, but we're all Angel fans, right? We all know what we're missing, what we need, and what's not there at the same time. I feel like they could have done a little bit better with it, like personnel-wise, standpoint-wise. You kind of want a laid-out time frame. Don't say, hey, from 12 to 4, the red carpet event's going on. You have the players aren't coming out there. So you have families showing up around 3, really disappointed young kids. And it's sad to see that, right? When you see kids coming in that young and wanting to see their favorite players and all that stuff. And I will give the one guy credit, is Estevez. I usually give him a hard time, but he stood there, tried to sign every autograph that he could and everything. I was almost to the point like, hey, man, slow down a little bit. Your hand's going to cramp up when you go to pitch in the ninth inning later. But it was pretty cool to see that, the red carpet event overall. I mean, it's always great to see. Granted, there's things missing, number 17 there, but you couldn't really bet on things being great that day. You know what I mean? It's kind of just that lull was just there.
It was what, a different vibe in your opinion too? Like the fans were different, like everything like that?
Everyone's excited so much. I mean, there was a lot less people, a lot less season ticket holders there. I was really shocked to see that because it's opening day, right? The stadium was packed inside. Yeah. But outside of seeing Trout and all that stuff, it kind of wasn't. People, the hype was gone after that. Ohapi, right? Don't get me wrong. Give those young guys, the young Coronado, which is great to see. But it just something was missing. And Roger Lodge, or a guy there, is trying to jump up and down like we're going to win the World Series this year. And it just was not happening. But he was not matching the vibe of the fans there at that point in time.
Well, I hope they smelled the BS. But one cool thing I saw that you posted was Moniak and your son got pretty cool, close with each other. That was nice to see, man. He made a new fan that day, huh?
Moniak and Neto, and then it was just amazing to see like their interaction with him, and it was cool. Neto was really cool with him. I didn't get a good picture of that so much. But Moniak was really cool, smiling, because my son can say Mickey for obvious reasons, right? But he can say Mickey Moniak, no problem. He was kind of yelling at Ned a little too much. I go, buddy, you can't yell at him. And Ned was like, no, it's good, bud. Glad you're here. And it was just a cool interaction overall.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you guys had a good time there at least. So moving on to the game, obviously it was sold out, a little crowded. What did you think of the overall presentation? I know we touched on it a little bit, but the fact that finally, we've been saying this for a while, when they do the opening montage, calling all angels, it's just mostly videos. They're not showing stats. They're not showing players' names. So a lot of times only the old people like ourselves, because we got to date ourselves, or the ones that know the history, you know, are the ones that are like, oh, that's Rod Carew. Oh, that's that guy. That's that guy. And most fans don't know, but they specifically focused in on the accomplishment, the year, and the player name. Were you impressed by that long intro?
I was, actually. I was very impressed in how they did it. They seemed to have a new media coordinator of some sort, what's going on, because the graphics was there. We always thought it was lacking. I always thought, hey, Randy, dude, your graphics are way better than the Angels. And this, it's like... And he goes, yeah, I know. It was just, you know what I mean? You've seen the graphics that they had in years past. It just wasn't there. But now it was pretty cool. It was pretty good to see overall. And you're right. Having to explain to people who's who was hard, but it's cool to see that up and coming. And I love the booze, man. It was great to see. And I know you saw, not only talking Rendon, they showed that clip of Artie for 5 seconds and the crowd went insane booing. And just a displeasure just to see. I mean, it was heard. It was heard there.
It was, Rob. I thought it was hilarious how, you know, like you said, there was only 5 seconds of him getting that jersey unveiled when he first took over the organization, you know, as a part of history of him taking, you know, the Angels under his wing. And boy, oh boy, they let him have it. And the one that surprised me, I knew Rendon was going to get some hate. The level of hate that he got, though, I loved it. A lot of Halo honks on here or people that follow us, some don't agree with our takes. But I know me and you think it's justified, and a few other of us on this platform think it's justified as well, too. But he got booed relentlessly. But the one that surprised me because of the preseason one where he was able to bow, and you know, maybe it's different when he's in person. But when he was on that video montage for his MVP awards, man, it got loud, didn't it?
It did, and it's funny to see because you see when we were there pregame-wise, overall, there was no Otani jerseys really rolling around. I didn't see too many, maybe one or two here, here and there. But when it's preseason, right, and you're still in the spring training and the Dodgers come to town, not everyone's there. It's not – the hardcore fans aren't into it, right? You see people, oh, it's cool to go see Otani, let's go. But when you get these fans who are hardcore and want to see the Angels do well, and they see what this guy did.
Yeah, the overall vibe kind of really changed, right? I mean, they really decided to go after him and all in, and I was enjoying it, man. Like I couldn't believe it. I saw a few Otani jerseys yesterday and the day before where they were patched over. People put Erstad or, you know, they changed the name and just put tape over them.
It was great to see. That it was absolutely great to see that overall. But and then you look at it too. I mean, granted, we still don't know what's going on, this betting scandal, but as more news unveils of these bets coming out of Japan and the area, his hometown, and those games of him pitching and he's losing, granted, it was not the reason why we've been so bad. Great to say, but if he's throwing games and there's bets on them, it's hard to root for a guy like that, even though I don't think he did anything wrong when he left us because we didn't give him an offer, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't hate a guy on something that you don't want to buy. So overall, but then seeing what's going on, I mean, granted, there's still a lot to come out on that, but it was great to see fans really show their displeasure with this guy. And I mean, as you said, we're going to go into the Randazzo thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. His takes were pretty crazy, but to finish up on the Otani thing, the fact that, you know, like, and we've said this before, and I know you feel the same way, Rob, when he was able to go to anywhere else. Like if he, you know, obviously there's a lot of Angel fans don't like the Red Sox, don't like the Yankees, don't like the Astros, but I'm pretty sure had he gone there, they would still root for him a bit unless they're playing the Angels. The fact that he goes to the Dodgers, for me, that just turns the red light on for me to root against him every game he plays. I don't care who they're playing. I want him to fail. I want him to have no success. So this whole thing is, the gambling scandals brought Angel fans even more heat to put on that fire, or gasoline to put on that fire.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's get into the game, shall we? Game one, the Angels, they got off to a slow start there with Griffin Canning. The game wasn't going too well. Another bad start where home runs were flying out on a very windy day, as you described. He had to keep the ball down. But in that one inning, which was, the second inning, Griffin Canning was throwing pitches. It seemed like just on a line. There was no movement, and they were going right down the middle. And before you knew it, the Angels were down 5-1. They didn't really have much of a rally. And then this guy came up, as we'll show this highlight.
Oh, Hoppy, it's a high fly ball. Rafaela is back. He's still going. He's up near the wall. And it's gone! A grand slam! Logan O'Hoppy ties it on opening night.
So Logan O'Hoppy right there with a dramatic grand slam opening night. The Angels had no fight in them till those two errors that a lot of people forget. Two errors set that up that should have ended the inning for Boston. But the grand slam by Logan O'Hoppy, how did you feel about that one, number one? Because I think we left you before that happened. And then number two, the Soriano experiment. I want your take on that.
The O'Hoppy, felt great about it. I had just left you guys. That's what really bummed me out after. My wife's like, well, you got to see it with me. Yeah, honey, great. I got to see it with you. But I was with the boys. I got to see. I just missed it. They went to go change the picture. Got a text message. They needed me back at where we're sitting. So I go back there, and this happens. I was like, it was great to see. And the roar of the crowd. So I don't want to hear anybody say, no one's going to Angel games anymore. No one cares about Angel Stadium. No one cares about Angels baseball. Screw that. That crowd, it was shaking. I was in the 300 level. It was shaking. I can feel the bounce from up top. I can feel it was going insane. But it was absolutely great to see. Absolutely great to see that.
Yeah, that was like a playoff home run. That was so clutch. And I think it was like, it felt when they tied it, like we were going to win. I told Steve Lees, I'm like, I think we're going to win this game because, the momentum was all ours. Like it was ours for the taking. And I was thinking, man, this is going to be good. What a comeback on opening day, right? But it didn't go that way. And the second part of that question, the Soriano experiment, three innings, a run in each inning, that was a dagger to us. Are you on board with that experiment? This is game two of the experiment. And would you have lifted him after he gave up that first run? Two-parter.
That night I would have lifted him. And I know hindsight, you can say it's 2020, but I'll tell you guys for one reason why. I mean, I'm for what they're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. At the same time, let's not burn this guy out. We are only, how many games in the season? Six?
It's a ninth game. That was a sixth game.
Sorry. Right? Yeah, sixth game in the season at that time. And yes. He already pitched over six innings. This guy's not going to last long. I don't care that you're trying to make him a starter. You're still pulling out of the pen doing these innings like that. And I wouldn't pull him. The one issue I had with him, his fastball is great. It's lightning. It's powerful. 100 miles per hour, great. But when his breaking stuff isn't working, that fastball is nothing. You have to pull him after that first inning because if his breaking stuff isn't working, your fastball is now ineffective. And I like the 1-2 punch. We talked about this before in a podcast. Griffin Canning's throwing 90 miles per hour flat. You throw a guy throwing 10 miles per hour more and just to help out and change the batter's eye a little bit. Granted, he only gave up three hits. All three were home runs, but they were all on fastballs to power hitters just sitting back waiting because they knew he wasn't going to throw a breaking ball because he couldn't locate one for a strike. So the experiment in itself, too, this guy's a setup man. He's a eighth inning guy, one inning. Maybe two if you absolutely need it. Your bullpen's depleted, but not this every single time. I want to have faith in Ron Washington knowing what he's doing, but we talked about this today. You're pretty much asking Ron Washington to make lemonade with sour apples at this point in time. And yeah, I said it too. We talked about it, right? He's up to the challenge. He's great. But don't tell me Ben Joyce isn't ready. Cisneros is ready. Garcia is ready. Who else? Zuinga was ready. No, these guys are trash too. Freaking awful. The Soriano experiment needs to end today. We need him almost every day, if not 2 days of a series. We need him to go pitch. this one game only in these series is BS because you need that shutdown guy. And I think he can be that guy, but you need to help him work on his breaking stuff. Because right now, I think he's working on his longevity. How do I go more innings? How do I do that? And you kind of miss the breaking stuff and the extra work on that stuff. But I think hindsight's 2020, of course. Someone could say, oh, you only say that because of this. I wasn't a fan when they did it in Miami to him. The first series, I'm not a fan of it now. I just don't think he'll last very long with this. And then we're going to end up with another pitcher with an arm issue.
Yeah, that's a problem too. I mean, I agree with everything you said, because even if you're just using from an inning to an inning and a half, you can't use him back-to-back nights if he's working three. You know, so that automatically cancels him out for at least a game, maybe two, like he's been. So I didn't like that either. They brought him in. You know, after he gave the first run, I would have said, okay, you know, let's kind of lift him, or maybe you could have put him out there in the second, which you did. He gave up another run, but a third inning was not justified. However you look at it, I thought that was terrible. They could have went to their formula on that night for whatever reason. They decided not to their closer Estevez. And so what happened was the Angels gave up the lead automatically, took the momentum right back out of their sails. But credit to Sano and the rest of the team. Ward scored from second on a single that made it through the left side of the infield. The crowd went nuts again as there was a play at the plate. Again, you know, sexy grand slam, that's great. But when you see guys running around the base trying to beat a play at the plate, that is awesome. People were high-fiving everybody. We're tied again. This is a great back-and-forth seesaw game. But then Soriano again comes out there, leaves one up in the zone. Boston hits another home run, and it's 7-6. And then O'Neill would finish off one in the top of the ninth to effectively end the game, because after they took the lead again, there was no fighting them in the eighth inning and zero fight in the ninth. Kelly Jansen would lock the door. And it was one of those ones where I don't know if you felt this way, Rob, but I was telling everybody that we were hanging out with. We were with James Squared, Steve Elise. And did you feel like it was not like last year's game? We kind of came to a agreement that last year on opening day, if we got into a game like this with Boston, we would have lost 8-1. We wouldn't have shown any fight. Was it sort of like a bittersweet, like you could take this kind of loss because they fought?
No, for me, no. Okay. It was an awful game for the Angels. The only reason why you're in this game because they had, what, four errors?
Yes.
Take that away. Take those four errors away. Granted, Boston's one of the worst teams in baseball with errors last year and then this year as well so far. But we can't rely on errors in order for us to be competitive in games. Granted, I know they happen. They're part of the game. And, yeah, it's great to keep it in. But back-to-back errors and then a walk to lead to a grand slam that should have never really even happened, because you get those two outs there, there's no way, right? Pitcher has more confidence, settles in. I don't know if would the inning have been over. I think the inning might have even been over.
Yeah, it would have been over, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. Same old Angels, in my opinion. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, let's take away that grand slam, and I believe the first run came on a walk in that game. Mm-hmm. Moving on to game two, and then spoiler alert for game three, the offense has only generated four runs in three games as far as like actually getting guys on base and moving them over via no air.
Yeah.
So this was a rough series for the Angels hitting wise, and the batting averages showed for it today at the end of the day. But the Angels took that loss, and it was, hey, let's come back and let's do it again. And Reed Detmers, so far, bro, he had 12 strikeouts. He's really starting to turn into that pitcher, but it's all about consistency. He hasn't had it yet, but the first two starts of the season, bro, he was dealing. And let's check out a couple of the highlights here from the game that he pitched there on Saturday. Good offense.
Swings and misses here, tagged out by Ohapi, and Reed Detmers strikes out the opening hitter. And Reyes swings and misses for strike three.
Now that was a fuzz. That's a fastball up there.
Swing and a miss. Reed Detmers strikes out the side of the first, emphatically punches out Rafael Devers.
I have to say, that looked like a pretty good pitch.
And it's in there for strike three, so Dahlbeck does punch out.
So those are, let's see, one more right here.
Four outs so far for Detmers or strikeouts. Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Detmers. His fifth as he gets Costas to chase. That's a curveball right down the middle for strike three.
And he knew it too.
That's in there. Strike three called. Reed Detmers gets another punch out. And that one is in there. Strike three. And another strikeout for Reed Detmers. Number nine in four.
Reed Detmers was dealing, man. What did you think of his performance?
Absolutely great. I mean, he had that swing and miss type stuff that you want and you need. He doesn't overpower you with the fastball, but when those swing and miss pitches are coming out, that changeup, that curveball and slider are all working, it's pretty hard to touch that fastball at 92 because you're guessing
at
point in time, especially with that changeup and the slider working. I mean, if he pitches like this, I'm talking Cy Young. I know it's early. I don't want to get out of hand, but how can you not say that? That was absolutely insane. And his not getting much help again offensively. We had six hits, but they're scattered, right? Got runs on the errors, but with him, he settles in and he just looks good. He looks comfortable on the mound.
Absolutely.
That's something we haven't seen with him, right? Besides his no hitter, he looked comfortable. He looks settled in and he looks like a, I mean, he's 27 years old, I think, 27. Mm-hmm. He's a seasoned veteran right now. That's how he's pitching like that. He's giving that, I thought it was going to be Chase Silseth, that FU attitude. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be Reed Detmers right now.
Detmers has that dog face, huh? He looks like locked in this season. He had that baby face for the first couple seasons, especially last year. This year, he looks like, man, you know, no one's going to hit my stuff. I'm coming out there. We got to stop this losing streak. I'm going to keep the game where it's at. We're going to, you know, like he has like what you're talking about. And maybe he's the dude that steps up, like you said, to become that ace. But again, touching on a couple things on that, what you brought up, alluded to, the Angels did not get much going at all offensively. Boston only had that one run. You were thinking, damn, he's going to be the tough luck loser. It's the sixth inning. He pitched six quality innings. He's not coming out for the seventh inning. And lo and behold, the Angels get, you know, the bases loaded. Anthony Rendon's up at, you know, I'm screaming, you better do something. You know, everyone else is yelling. And then he hits a weak-ass ground ball. Devers, for some reason, backpedals, doesn't charge. The ball gets squirts into left field, two-run score, and it's 2-1. What did you think about that play? Were you pleasantly surprised, or you're like, what did you think, man?
I mean, that play, that was awful. I mean, you're taught as a kid, right? Charge the ball. Don't let the ball play you. Play the ball. And he stepped back and let the ball play him instead of going up and play that ball. I mean, I don't like to give Rendon too much credit, but you see him fielding. He does not sit back like that. Granted, there are times you have that in-between hop where you need to take a step back to get it, but that was not that time. That was the time to come charge that ball and make a nice, easy throw to first and keep it easy on you. But seeing the night before, I wasn't surprised, right? You saw their lackluster in the defense. But looking at that alone, it's crazy to see that we're celebrating that from Rendon. I'm watching the highlight right now and how it skipped off his glove and goes into the left fielder could get it. That's just insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because, again, if that's on a line drive, you know, you could justify that because maybe the exit velocity is so hard, you got to play it off a hop skip, you know, off the dirt if it's a one hopper. But that one was already chopped around the plate, you know, and before the freaking mound. So you got to run up and grab that sucker. Don't let the dirt play you. But it did. Now, there was a bigger play that happened in the eighth inning when they were trying to keep it close. They got the first two outs. And this wasn't going to be a home run, but it would have been trouble off the wall. It could have been a double, could have turned into a triple. But Mike Trout came through with a huge catch. Let's see that highlight.
The ball hit hard towards center. Trout got a good jump. He races back. He's near the wall. He leaps. He makes the catch. Mike Trout up against the wall. Robs Duran of extra bases.
So that was a huge catch. And again, like you said, the night before with the fans going crazy, rocking, that rocked the stadium right there.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great jump on that ball. You saw it right when it was hit. He was already going back, and that's the Trout of old, right? That's the guy you want to see, but we haven't really seen lately.
No, we haven't. But that play was huge because then Estevez came in the ninth, and he did this. He did the whole Dragon Ball Z reference.
Is there a new Dragon Ball Z celebration on the mound after you close it out?
Yeah, there is. There is. We're throwing that Kamehameha every time we finish a game, and I think, you know, a nerd forever, a nerd, and who cares? Let's do it.
There you go. I gotta love that, man. He embraces the nerd, the inner nerd. But the Angels get the does. W. And if it's that, you know, I was just telling Steve Lees in the crowd, man, I miss Iglesias. I miss his intro, his walk up song. I remember she translated to me. I'm like, those are some badass lyrics from that song. And so I'm like, Estevez comes out to a pretty bland song, but if he's gonna do stuff like that, hey, I'm for it. Maybe he doesn't need all the glitz and glatter, right? As long as he gets the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all we really need him to do. I mean, I'm wishy-washy on him of his stuff, but if he does this and gets outs, I don't care, right? I'll eat crow all day long on this guy. If But let's talk about that real quick. From Mortis Estevez, why is that not our thing?
I don't know, bro. I thought it would have been Soriano more than Estevez.
I mean, if we're going to go, I don't like the Soriano project, right? You talk about that, but if Estevez, I mean, granted, Simber did a good job holding that, but I would like to see Soriano more Estevez. Mm-hmm. And if someone's tired there, hopefully your starting pitcher doesn't get to Soriano that day. And Moore's tired. You flip-flop, but hey, Moore, you take a day off. Soriano's going for the hold, or, you know what I mean, keep bouncing him back if you need to, but expect more out of your starters so you don't tax your bullpen that much. But we said that we don't want to tax the bullpen, but we're taxing a single player in the bullpen. But it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't, and it's a good point. I hope it changes. I hope we get more set in roles. And those pitchers that you brought up earlier that have been struggling, like Cisnero and Garcia, those guys hopefully will get changed out by Stevenson and, what's his name, Joyce, and a few others that are going to be coming back up. So we'll see where that goes. Now, we're briefly going to touch on today's Sunday afternoon matinee, which was supposed to be the rubber match where the Angels, you thought Silseth was going to come through, and he had the Griffin Canning disease, 3 home runs in 1 inning, all solo shots. But again, not insurmountable. The first 3 innings, Rob, they had guys all over the bases and did jack squat, and they did the Cardinals sin by not scoring, especially with second and third, nobody out, and letting Tanner Houck get comfortable.
They let him settle in, and a couple guys used their one time out, and a couple guys did not. And I would like to see a little bit more. When a guy has your number, break up his flow a little bit. Don't take it with 2 strikes. Take it when it's 1-1, when you just got fooled by that nasty little pitch he threw, a slider that was working away. Granted, I think a couple times here, their approach wasn't there. Trout, why are you trying to hit a home run there?
Yes.
You saw that?
Yep.
And we've talked about this before, and I'm a firm believer that he's gotten a bit slower, right? He's just a tad slower. Not to say he's not a great player, but he has to change his swing. He said it. He knows he has to. I still think he has his hands too high. And in order to compensate, he has to drop that back shoulder to get the hands through the zone quicker, which leads to pop-ups and flyouts, which we've seen. And he's just missing it. He's just – and baseball is a game of inches, right? It's like a half a second, not even a full second. It's like one of those little milliseconds that he's just missing it by, but he has to make that adjustment. And that's just me. Granted, I'm not a coach, right? Or anything. I played baseball. I was a pitcher. If I saw that, I'd be throwing breaking balls or fastballs up and in because I see that he's a little bit late and I can see him struggling to get there. But if I see he has to dip back to do it, I'm going to play that to my advantage a little bit.
Yeah. And that was a messed up thing. He's got 4 home runs. He is literally Han Solo. He's got 4 home runs, 4 RBIs. This reminds me of 2 seasons ago when he had 44 home runs or 41 home runs and 88 RBIs. It's like you're only, and again, you want to blame him because I would love to see Trout get some singles and doubles and rip them into the gap instead of, like you said, swing for the fences. And then, but then on the other hand, even if he's to do that so far through 9 games this season, the 2 guys who are batting leadoff and number 2 are both batting under 100. So it's... you want to blame the guy because he does deserve some blame for the uppercut swings. But then again, maybe he's hitting a couple 3-run homers if these guys ahead of him are getting on base.
You got to set him up a little bit. Washington, not Ron. John Washington's our hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
You got some work ahead of you, man. It's a little interesting what's going on here. We're not doing so well hitting wise, and it's getting worse. Some of the approaches look really bad right now at the plate. You mm-hmm. have 3 guys who don't even have a batting average of 100 who are playing. And granted, I don't think that's 100% their fault for one of them because he's switching them in and out. Moniak, he doesn't have that many at bats, but Chanwell and Rendon have been playing consistently enough. Change your approach.
And Neto, plate. Too.
Yeah, Neto, he's batting 200, though, no? At least.
Yeah, he's above Mendoza's line. 200, but he's still like there's certain situations like today. He was 2-0. I don't know if you saw that. And when it was still 3-0 and they had a runner on and, they're trying to start a rally with nobody out. 2-0. Houck is starting to have a little problems. He throws them a 2-seamer or a 4-seamer. Mm-hmm. It kind of busts him in and he gets fooled. It's like in on his hands and he just flares a pop out to first base. That should have been ball 3.
That's a coaching thing right there, right? That goes to your manager. There's been a lot this series and even the series before, a lot of 2-0 counts when these pitchers are beating us down pretty bad, excuse me. and 2-0 count. Make them throw you a strike. I get it. Oh, everyone, you want to sit dead red and swing at it. Yeah, but where's your spot? It should be a very small spot. It should be like the size of a baseball. It needs to be right there for me to hit it. And if it's not there, I'm not swinging. But the Angels can't do that. A little bit of undiscipline, in my opinion, right? They're showing that. So I'm saying you take and make him throw more pitches. Make him work for that. Because if you're going to give him, like you said, a 3-0 count, you're going to swing at that. You're going to give him a strike. You're working against yourself. Let's let this guy work until we get something generated. Until then, until we settle in, we can't do that. We can't bail pitchers out, which we're exactly what we're doing. We did that the last series too.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. So again, I mean, take away those errors, and we only scored 4 runs, 2 of which in this game came late as the Angels, it turned from a 3-0 game to a 12-2 game as a final, because a guy like, you know, my favorite bounce back pitcher, Suarez, came in there, Cisneros came in there, and then wound up, we saw our first position player pitch of the year, Miguel Sano. I don't have any highlights from this game because there was none. The Angels got worked. Boston hit a ton of home runs in this series.
Yeah, I mean, one last thing on this game here. Still, Seth isn't far off. He's got to control his – he has spot up a little bit, right? He's missing his spots, and when he misses the spots, those big hitters, they take advantage of it. Why are we throwing Tyler O'Neill a fastball? Why are you throwing Duran a fastball? Why are you throwing the guys who have beat you consistently this whole series fastballs?
Yeah, Devers, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Devers, Duran, O'Neill, breaking balls, forcing to hit it or spot up a fastball really low where it's a ball. Or the outside part of the plate, don't give them anything hittable because they have destroyed us so far this season. Or the series, excuse me. That's what I would have done. But he had 7 strikeouts today. He's not far off.
No, he's not.
Fix those little mistakes and you'll be just fine. Can't have these big blow-up innings. Control the blow-up innings. On Gooby Tuesdays, there you're going to have your blow-up innings. He's going to tell you his key to success. That's going to be it. Your key to success is going to eliminate the beginning.
Agreed, 100%. So with that series taking a Rally Chris reverse special, they lose 2 out of 3 to Boston. That'll ship us here, or ship the Tampa Bay Rays in town. We have Zach Eflin, not Efron, will pitch for the Tampa Bay Rays on Monday, opposed by Tyler Anderson, fresh off a good start in Miami. Some people want to say it's fool's gold. Some people want to say that's how he's starting, just like Detmers. In your opinion, does he follow up Detmers with a second straight good start at home, or do we see some of last year's Tyler Anderson?
Tough opinion. I've been wrong lately. I don't know. He's been, I mean, if he has that change of working like he always did, he looks like the Dodgers 15 game winner. I'll give the guy benefit of the doubt right now. And he's throwing the ball well. And if he continues to do that, you saw him today working on it, right? They kept showing him on the camera. I'm not sure. Were you at the game?
No, yeah, I wasn't at the game.
But yeah, you're just showing him on TV how he's constantly working on it. You can see him even sitting there. He has baseball on his mind 1,000%. Granted, I get it. Yeah, he's at the game, but he already has his success in his mind, what he needs to do, and he's working on it. So seeing that today on the bench, what he's doing, going through the motions, I think he's going to have a good game tomorrow.
Okay, I'm going to lean with you on that one too, Rob. I said the Angels get a victory against Tampa on Monday. Now, the big one I want to ask you about is Patrick Sandoval. Sandoval came off a not a spectacular start in Miami, but a better start than he did in Baltimore, obviously. But he's going to be up against Cavill, who's a really good pitcher for Tampa. And he's had all three of these guys are on their third starts already. This will be Sandoval's third start only coming up here. So it'll be Cavill and Sandoval. Who do you like in this one?
I like Cavill on it. I don't like Sandy. I'm still not sold on him as a starting pitcher right now. I don't believe he's settling in. I don't believe the Angels are helping him at all. I'm not too high on Enright as well, too, as our pitching coach right now. Because, granted, we've seen Detmers do well. We've seen Anderson do well. But is it him? Because the rest of the staff's not doing well overall. I think Sandoval, which done such a disservice to him and helping him grow, I just don't see it right now. He doesn't look confident on it. He leaves the ball up a lot. His curveball is not breaking, or if it does, it's way short, so you can definitely tell it's a ball. I would like to see him go to the bullpen for a little bit, work it out, and I'd like to see another starting pitcher come up.
Okay. Yeah, because if he doesn't straighten something out by like start 6 or 7, they're going to have to really entertain what you just said. And I'd like the Angels to score against Eflin I'm hoping I'm right on that. But against Cavill, I think they're going to struggle. And I think Sandy will, you know, lose like a game, like maybe he'll give up like four runs. They'll lose something like 6-2 or something. So I'm with you on this one. I like Tampa to even the series at that point. So then in game three, it's going to be Zach Little, a guy who has a minuscule ERA of 1.80 in two starts. He's only allowed two runs in, I believe, over 11 innings. He'll be opposed by Griffin Canning, who for the third time this season, we're going to say, needs a bounce back start. Does Canning get it done against Lytle or Little or whatever his name is?
I say no. I don't see it again. I mean, it's going to be a tough road for Canning. That fastball's flat.
Mm-hmm.
That fastball is really flat. And the breaking ball, if it's not good that day and breaking hard.
So if it's not breaking hard, you broke up there for a minute. I think your breaking pitches are breaking hard because the internet popped you off. All right, go ahead. Sorry. Are you hearing me now? You're kind of, yeah, you lost me there for a minute. Can you finish that up real quick? Yeah, oh, hold on. We're having some technical difficulties. So on the podcast side, it won't look that great, but Rob is going out on the video side back and forth. So hopefully he's picking up. You're muted right now. So let's here you go. Finish up that comment. We didn't catch the last bit of that.
With Canning?
Yes.
He's breaking stuff. He doesn't have a get me over type pitch that's going to be consistent enough for strikes the whole time. That's going to confuse hitters. I mean, he kind of just hangs that curveball a little bit. He got to spot up that changeup, but it's fast. He can throw a hard fastball.
True.
And so the changeup relatively ineffective to these hitters. I mean, I think the road's over for Canning. I wanted him to do well again, but I'm just being realistic overall. We knew what we needed to start the season, starting pitching. This guy was another bubble guy. He's been a bubble guy for years. And I know our managers haven't been the greatest overall, but they didn't see it. And I don't know what Washington sees now, if he even sees anything, or we're just out of options. This is the best of what we have.
Yeah, I'm hoping Griff. Look, I'm going to make a prediction. We went 2-for-2 on our picks. I'm going to say that Griffin Canning goes 5 and keeps them tied like at 3-3, and then the Angels can get to their bullpen and walk away with a victory on Wednesday. I'm going to say they edge him. So I'll take the Rally Chris special. You're going to take the reverse Rally Chris special. So there's our breakdown for Boston and Tampa. Now, last thing on the docket, because we're approaching that time period, Wayne Randazzo, the broadcaster, along with Gooby, who was highly critical himself. We're going to listen to what they said, and then we're going to give our takes. I want to hear, Rob, what you think about the takes and if they're spot on or not, in your opinion.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous-looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the positivity from all over the social media world, how it impressed everybody to start your career. He was this in college last year. He was still playing college baseball at this point. And then they have that taken away on a base hit. It was a base hit.
It was a clear hit. It wasn't even really a borderline call. It was a clear base hit.
What do you think about that, Rob?
I mean, they're pretty spot on. Baseball's taking it, right? Taking it across the face a couple times. You got to eat this one a little bit here. Ton of things going on in baseball, scandal-wise. I think it's only one scandal. I don't know, scandal after scandal, unless they're going after steroids and stuff. But Ohtani being in trouble here, and the Oakland A's being a complete joke, going to play a minor league game, a minor league ballpark. And then these jerseys are just awful. Players are complaining. The pitch clock is an issue. We've seen nothing but arm injuries overall. I think a little, there's more to that in itself. But I don't disagree with these guys. I think they're pretty much spot on for it, except for the pitch clock. I will say that I'm going to defend the pitch clock a little bit on this, because in spring training before, These guys are throwing 100 miles per hour. They're going 110% right away. We were always told, I mean, growing up, at least we were, you ease in, right? There's a throwing program. I didn't throw off the bump right away at 100%. I threw at 70%. I need to work on the feeling of the pitches, kind of the spins and all that stuff. Granted, I know you need different spins for the fastball now because it's all about revolution per second and what they have and everything. So, but this story overall, it was sad to see MLB. Granted, it would have ended today, I believe, right? I don't think he got a walk, so it would have ended today anyways. But for it to be taking away instead of actually ending the right way, like how it would have today, was wrong. Because you mean to tell me, MLB, you have nothing better to do than that, to take away a good story, like they said. They alluded to that overall. And then the other thing I have an issue with, too, why didn't you announce it? Why didn't the commissioner come out and say, like, hey, people are highlighting this. Media is highlighting this. The Angels are. It's putting on the Jumbotron. It's opening day, right? Say something. Why is it someone's job to go back or something like that? And then you show – I mean, you saw the game today. They showed hit after hit today that was called. It's like, so we're going back and talking about those? There's a couple of questionable ones. One I thought was legit hit. I mean, everything else was questionable too. But anyways, it's just, I don't know. It's a joke. Major League Baseball is going to wear this one on the chin for a while. This Ohtani scandal, they're trying to sweep under the rug any which way they can. And, oh, we don't think he's guilty. Come on.
Yeah.
There's only so many times somebody can lie to your face, right? You're like, okay, I know you're lying. Like, come on. I'm not stupid. But
yeah. I think you brought up some things there too when we were talking about the stadium, when you were saying, I think there's a work stoppage coming, you know, and you may be
right. Yeah. I forgot about that. I did. Yeah. Where I work, we have contracts, right, and everything. There's a level. These guys are part of a players' union. There's no way to tell you need to tell me that a Reed Detmers, who I don't know what he's getting into, but I know last year he got $700,000. He's there, and Ohtani's at $70 million, but they pay the same dues. They pay the same people to represent them overall, not their agents, the players union overall is what I'm talking about. You need to find that middle ground. No one's going to do what the Dodgers are doing. This deferment payments. You have, what, 8 owners, all billionaires?
Yeah.
Every other team has one owner or family of owners that are billionaires too. Don't get me wrong, but 8 billionaires obviously have more money than the 1 billionaire. It's funny how we have a Steve Cohen tax for the New York Mets, but we have nothing for the Dodgers. All the other owners aren't going to buy in on this. There's no way. There's too many small market type teams who can't afford to do that, who don't have those TV contracts, who don't have the medium income wage that LA has for itself. So baseball is going to put itself in a dark place. Salary cap needs to happen. Salary cap minimum, salary cap maximum. Without that, you're going to talk lockout.
Yeah, you do need a roof and you do need a floor.
You don't
have either one of those. You're going to have this unbalance. Because the game can take care of itself on the field for the most part, but this off the field stuff, the salaries, because it's turning off the fans too for making all these millions upon millions of dollars. Really, what does a $70 million player look like? And we're looking at it right now, and he's half the player because he can't pitch. So there's all sorts of problems, like you said, the Ohtani scandal, and then the Shanawell thing sucks because. I forget the pitcher in Detroit who the guy was. He actually beat the base runner to the first. Wasn't it to get the no hitter and the no hit? What is it? The umpire called him safe. That was before replay.
Yes.
And the umpire the next day apologized. But it's like, okay, we're going back days and correcting a score from days ago. Yet the MLB, not too long ago when that happened, couldn't go back and fix that no hitter for that pitcher.
Yeah, was it Armando Galarraga?
There you go.
And he had incentives in that contract of his that he would have hit if he had that perfect game that he did not get. The Detroit later paid him off all those incentives, and that's a hats off to that franchise there and the owner for doing that. But was it Joyce? I want to say the umpire's name was.
Yeah, I think so. I'm forgetting the first name, but
he was one of the. One of the better umpires, and he knew it, and he owned up to it. And even after owning up to it, MLB didn't go back and change it.
Exactly. Okay,
you saw that it was wrong. He knew that it was wrong after the fact. He saw it. And even watching it live time, I don't blame the guy because I was younger then. Of course, what year was that?
I think it was mid-2000s or early – I think it was mid-2000s or almost 2010. It was somewhere around there. But I know Joyce cried, though. Joyce cried in the press conference afterwards. He apologized to Galarraga. He actually shook his hand because in one aspect, you ruined that dude's career or you ruined you know, a huge highlight. To throw a perfect game in baseball is extremely rare, and he had it. It was the perfect case scenario to mess up, and he apologized. Like you said, he owned up to it, and still MLB didn't change it. You know, not even an asterisk, bro. They just were like, ah, leave it alone. But Shotwell, no, don't you break the great Alvin Davis's record.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe that. I mean, how much do you want to piss on the Angels? When's the last time you had an actual opening day at Angel Stadium when baseball first started? Opening day, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, hey, you guys played a series, two series on the road, and you came home. And the last one was 2021 when no fans were allowed. Mm-hmm. At first, we had little cardboard cutouts and teddy bears out there. Great. Thanks. Appreciate that, baseball. It's like, yeah, come on. At some point in time, get it together, because the NFL gets a lot of flack, and so does the NBA for the stuff they do. But baseball, same thing. People find it's boring. Season's too long. Game is too long. They've done stuff to make it better. But then now some of that stuff's reversed, right? Like you said, too much money. But yet we're going to ruin an on-base streak for a young 22-year-old?
Yeah.
Who's proving, hey, you can go from college to pro like that and still make a difference.
And who knows, if he had that still intact today, maybe he does work a walk. Maybe he does work a hit. You know, maybe things are different, but you don't know, because, again, maybe he was down too, you know, feeling
baseball's
like
a mental game. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you? I would feel absolutely awful if you took something away from me. It's for people who don't understand, it's like going to work and getting your bonus taken away from you, even though you made that sale. You did everything right. But you know what? I was like, you know what? I talked to that guy for like 1 second, said thank you. So I took the sale because he liked my interaction with him. It's like, no, that's pretty much how it would be, right? It's like, you didn't do anything. It's, come on. It was legit. There was no way that was in any type of error at all.
Oh, I know. And for Gooby to be so firm on it too, you know, it bothered him. And it was great to see real reaction, because this is what we've been asking for our commentators, the people on radio, to be like more realistic instead of blowing smoke up your butt. Now, last thing I got for you on this, Wayne Randazzo, does he get any flack from the MLB from this? Does he get fined? Will we hear about a fine if he does?
Fine and suspended, I believe. And I think, of course, MLB and already going to sweep it under the rug, because we don't want any problems as normal. We don't want to go against the grain. We're just the Angels. So it's going to be kind of one of those things where we just roll over again to MLB and we do what they say. And we don't really fight back with it. Just like at these winter meetings, how would you not fight back and say, if I'm Artie Moreno and I'm the owner of a team, I gather up all these owners. Are you effing kidding me? They're going to defer everything? At this point, the Dodgers are going to be deferred until 2200 year, and they're like, never gonna bank this payments. It's ridiculous. It's ruining the game, and MLB goes after something so small and minuscule, and it wasn't something egregious. That was, I don't know, it was nice to see the raw reaction from those guys, which is also kind of leads me to believe, like how you've alluded to before, is that Artie controls too much of his own media, and he tells them what they can and can't say, and these guys are fearful for their jobs, and so they don't say the raw reaction. But that there, the guy, Wayne Randazzo, kind of went off the handle a little bit. And hey, kudos to Gooby. That's a freaking teammate you want, right? He did what he's told to do, but his teammate went out there and he took his back. He got his back right there, right? That's the kind of guy I want on my team. I love that style of Gooby, like you said, right there. He's not sugarcoating it. He backed his guy up 100%. That was freaking great. I loved it. It fired me up.
Yeah, and you know what? The whole Gooby getting his back may not get Wayne, you know, reprimanded, because then they're going to be like, well, how can you suspend Wayne if you're not going to suspend Gooby? And they're like, well, we can't suspend Gooby. Well, then you can't suspend Wayne. You know, so it could be one of those. But yeah, major props. Wayne got a lot of love. It went viral, and it needed to be said. And he had the stones to say it. And like you said, credit on Gooby. And it was good to see. So that about wraps it up, unless you got anything else, Rob. I know you're working, and I really appreciate your time. You actually gave us about 15 or so more minutes than I thought we would get. So I appreciate your insight, my man.
I got one question for you. What's the Halo Honk record right now?
So far, we're 1-0 this year.
What about lifetime?
Lifetime. Halo Honk is
2-0.
500, 3-3.
3-3?
3-3.
Hey, it's better than the Angels season, man. You might have to start dressing up, man. Someone buy Todd some makeup. Please, we need help right there. Someone come help him.
Yeah, I need to, because it started great. I think I was 2-0 out the gate, and then the last three Halo Honk appearances, we took losses, but we got it going the other night. So yeah, I got to restock on the makeup, maybe jazz up the outfit a little bit more, get some balls to juggle, and you know, the underwear that keeps coming out of your pants, you know, that type of thing. You know, pulling the underwear out, or the,
oh yeah,
the handkerchiefs out the mouth, one of the two.
Start drilling a little bit when you're walking. It's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling quarters out of behind the kids' ears, that kind of thing. So,
oh, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah. Don't touch kids on that, man. That's scary.
Yeah, you know, I'll stick to the balloon animals. There you go. My bad. Thanks for pointing that out. I don't need a lawsuit. You are a lawyer for a reason.
I'm not a lawyer. I am not a lawyer. But yeah, that'd be my fear right there. I'd be a little weirded out too. You try to touch my kid's ear.
All right, that's a good stopping point. So for Todd Fox and
Rob
from Parts Unknown, have a good one. See you on the flip side.
See you guys.